News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So listen, lots of big doings happening with Right Side. I can't wait to make some announcements in the near future. But for right now, let me just tell you, if you find yourself getting outside the overly broad range of our AM FM capabilities here at WVNN, it don't matter. Literally, here's the deal. I got people that call in for the show. They're from out of state. How do they do that? They stream the show. They listen live, no matter where you are. I always say, no matter where you are in the big wide world, go to the World Wide Web, click on rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and go to the place on there where it says listen live, and you'll find it right there. You, no matter where you is, there we is what I always say. It cracks me up. I was at an event. I got asked to host a political event not long ago. And had a young listener to the show, Ridley. Ridley, if you're listening, hey, man, how are you? But Ridley comes up, he looks at me, goes, no matter where you is, there we is. I was like, yeah, that's funny what sticks with people. But anyway, it's true, though. That's why we have so many folks that call in from out of state. And and we got, you know, like Jerome in Rome. We got folks up in Virginia that I know here on a regular basis. We got Jeff from Indiana, Steve from Tennessee. I mean, all these regular callers. And then I get emails. You know, it's just cool. And I love that. We have our podcast on there, too. I'm going to pull that up real quick while I'm talking. But our podcast, our second biggest audience right now is still California. So, hey, California. Praying for you guys out there on the left coast. Listen, glad you're part of the audience. Right Side Radio is, you know, based here in the southeast, but you are welcome any single day of the week. So, yeah, thankful that we have our California crew out there listening on a regular basis. According to what we've seen on the stats, there's like 700 downloaders out there in California. Right now, we are at, on the podcast, just computer's moving slow, but it appears that we are, oh my gosh, we're pushing 55,000 downloads right now. So that's just cool. Golly, what an honor. What, I don't know what to think about this, but anyway, it's an honor to have this platform. It's an honor to have this chance. I say it all the time, folks. I do not want to get to the point that I ever take it for granted. I don't want to ever come in and just flip on the mic and go, yeah, I got to do a show. Let's talk. No, it's an honor to have this platform. I mean, I figure if this is what, you know, Charlene and I are called to, it's all in, man. Got to be all in. And don't want to waste your time. So we prep the show. I mean, literally. Just so you know, when I do a triple dipper like this, I've got stacks of paper to the left of me, all highlighted and marked up. And it starts early in the morning. And this is the way I do the show, all right? 3 hour show usually takes somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.5 to 3 hours of prep. And that's on top of having other work in the world that I have to do. But I get the biggest kick out of it. And so sometimes I know what I'm doing like the day before, right? Sometimes I can see it. I can see that story, man. Triple dipper. I can tell what segment two is going to be. I got to do it. I've got these guests lined up. I got that thing. Sometimes though, I get up in the morning. It's like, okay, I don't know. There's either so many things to pick from or it's a slow news week and I'm kind of looking through. But what I do literally every single morning is I get up early, I spend some time with the Lord, and then after that, I call it resource time. And I start going through any number of news sites. I mean, there's probably 15 or 20 news sites that have become my common go-tos. And when I'm going through them, I am pulling things down and then I see trends and then I develop the triple dipper off those trends. So if I don't already know what the story was, like today, I did not have my triple dipper planned when I got up, but I had it literally all transcribed, hot linked, all the stories on one place, emailed it to Birdman. He had it by 7 a.m. And then he puts it into a format that I can work with, emails it back to me. I hit print. And I've got like 50 something pages here and I sit down and just start highlighting, reading, prepping, making notes. It makes me think of another story, a thing that I saw. I have to go find something else to go with it. Next thing I know, I've got more paper. But when you hear me rattle paper in the microphone, that's legit, man. That's us resourcing the show and spending time because we are not going to waste your time. If y'all are going to spend time with us, there's got to be something there, some product. There's got to be something that's not just, Phil had a random thought. Here it is. And so that's Right Side Radio. And that's every day. And that's the way we're going to keep doing it. And we're going to resource this show and we're going to put quality into it. And at every turn, you guys has just blessed us by making the show successful. It's taken off like I never could have imagined. Ratings are being what they are because of y'all, not because of us. We may prep the show, but we still can't do it without you guys listening. So the feedback I got a moment ago, I finished my monologue, and I had texts and emails start dropping in. Ding, 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 ding. And I'm looking at my phone going, wow, oh, cool. And, oh, thank you. Hey, and sent a quick email back to this person, a quick text back to that person. That's how quickly our show just grabs people. And I have no idea how this happened. God, I guess. How'd I get here? God did it. Because I got no other explanation. All right, listen, we got a great show coming up here in just a minute. When we come back from this next break, I'm going to be spending some time on the first part of the Triple Dipper talking about January 6th political theater. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be lawyer-filled a little bit, because what we're looking at right now, make no mistake, they may have subpoena power. That's about the only legality we're seeing attached to all of this. Because what we're not seeing right now is what I would call the true presentation of evidence. What we're not seeing right now is any opportunity for true cross-examination of witnesses. What we're not seeing right now are any aspects of civil procedure, criminal procedure, or rules of evidence being applied. Nothing like that. In fact, what we are seeing right now are things that if I were in court and I were the opposing counsel, I would be objecting on a multiple basis. I would be literally moving to strike certain things that are being said. And oh, by the way, I probably would have moved for a mistrial at this point. This is the biggest political theater, this kabuki dance called the January 6th Commission. I mean, my gosh, are there important things to look at in January 6th? Sure. But my gosh, they turned it into a theater. We'll talk about that in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Time now, 2.35 PM, and I got a caller that held on during the break. Hey, it's Sparky from Harvest. Sparky, line four, how you doing, bud?
Hey, enjoying the discussion. I got some perspective, and I think the willingness of the senior Democrats in Congress to lay out a sham spectacle, like an Oscar night presentation of this January 6th kangaroo court nonsense. It's arrogance in presenting such a dishonest narrative and a dishonest message. But I trace it back to, quite personally, the perfect storm of both politics and cult of personality that was, you may remember this name, Barack Obama. Ah. Barack Obama was a pathologically dishonest but charismatic enough Democratic politician who learned that because conservatives were afraid to criticize the first African-American president, he could lie blatantly, outlandishly, without even blinking, and always get away with it. And after a while, his people looked left and right, and the adoring, slobbering, drooling mainstream media who supported his every word looked left and right and said, we can get away with unbelievable dishonesty, and wow, and they're not even challenging on us on this. And it's become the new norm inside the Washington, D.C. bubble, with propped up by the mainstream media, who's nothing but a propaganda arm of the Democratic Socialists. They lie constantly and then didn't even learn a lesson from the false Russian collusion narrative. So obsessed are they with distracting the American people from all the real problems in the nation and their zeal to go after Donald Trump. To me, it's the very definition of insanity, if you remember the popular one going around.
Oh, yeah. The very definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, right. Sparky, you're like on fire today. You need to do the monologue tomorrow, I think. Just saying.
Hey, listen, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Phil, I knew you served. I knew you served in the military. You ran around with the special ops badasses, and I always admire you for that and your entire body of work. I myself was in the Army many years, but as an aviator, and I'm in awe of you guys, that were Army Rangers, the toughness, the mental and physical and emotional and spiritual discipline that it takes to make it through that training and then be an Army Ranger. My hat's off to you and all the Army Rangers out there.
Well, man, I'm honored by that. Thank you. I appreciate it. The main thing I learned at Ranger School was don't quit. But anyway, thanks for your service too, my friend. And call in anytime. We appreciate you always. All right, Sparky from Harvest. All right, man. Hey, what a cool call. Hey, listen, number one of the Triple Dipper, January 6th, Political Theater. So let me just open by saying this. Do not mistake what is happening as being a court of law. It is not. Have you seen anything right now referred for charges? No. Is this a grand jury? No. Is there in any way an opportunity for Donald Trump or anyone else who's being accused and accused and accused and accused of having an opportunity to cross-examine the witnesses? No. Is there any impartiality there, like a judge who sits at the bench and is there to, you know, represent the blindfolded symbol of justice? No. Are they using any rules of evidence? No. Are they using any rules of civil procedure? Is there anything in place other than parliamentary procedure and the rules of the Senate? No. What we have right now is political theater. And I'm looking at this right now saying, too, that they know, and Merrick Garland also knows, I guarantee you, Merrick Garland may not be a good attorney general, but he's no dummy. Merrick Garland is sitting up there going, God, gosh, would you just stop? Because right now they're putting him in the place of having to decide what he's going to wind up doing. And there's a very high bar that is necessary to reach, a threshold that is, in my opinion, not been reached at this point. And even still, even if they seem to appear to reach that high bar of evidentiary concern, it's got very little probability of success. And the idea that they're going to wind up bringing charges against a former president of the United States alleging criminal misconduct to the extent of causing an insurrection against the government while he was still the sitting president of the United States. And they're going to make that stick? No. If they could, they would have done it by now. We are 2 years removed from it. If there was a smoking gun, we would have already seen it. So there's that. I'm going to go into some more stuff on that, but I see I got a caller on line one. Let me grab Thomas from Athens. Hey, Thomas, how you doing today?
I wanted to merge what you're saying now with your comment to Sparky and Sparky's comment. You were a Ranger, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, sir.
And your motto, never quit. They never quit. They're not insane. They are smart. They are shrewd. They will keep going. They will keep pulling on us, pushing on us, trying to diss us, disassociate us with a true American agenda. They will keep doing it, and they will keep doing it as long as they have power. They are far from insane. They are shrewd, effective. They have their playbooks, and they're working it.
I don't disagree with that. I think you're right. I think they're cunning like foxes, you know, and they're streetwise, but they're not smart in the sense of this is actually going to work. They just want it to be something they can beat people up with and use their bully pulpit, knowing full well they may have very little opportunity in a court of law. But yeah, Thomas, your point's well taken. Thank you for that, and thanks for your comments too on the military side. Appreciate you. All right, listen. So, Washington Examiner story right out the gate here. As I drop my papers all over the floor. Story from the Washington Examiner dated to yesterday, actually. Says that members of the January 6th committee quickly took to the airwaves to declare that a decision has not yet been made on criminal referrals after chairman of the commission, Benny Thompson, Democrat from Mississippi, reportedly ruled it out. All right, understand what's happening here. Like I said, this is political theater. What they're doing right now is they are attempting to just sort of say, here's what we've been doing for 2 years, and we just want everybody to see what we think we see without anybody here to question what it is we say we see. And so they're spending millions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, by the way, to put all this out there in a manner that is only this is like having day after day after day of opening statements in a court of law where you get to sort of say the evidence is going to show, but you haven't shown the evidence. That's what happens. In an opening statement, you're allowed to try to set the tone for your position in the case. Now, in a court of law, there's actually sort of rules and guidelines as to what you're allowed to do and say within an opening statement. I mean, you can't literally argue the case per se so much as you have to infer the case. It's things like, ladies and gentlemen, I am not the judge, but I believe in a few minutes the judge will charge you, and that's your closing statements. Or, for instance, ladies and gentlemen, I believe as you see the evidence, and it will infer to you that, and you can say those kinds of things. What we're seeing right now is blatant disregard. They're just like, well, here's the deal, insurrection. And then there's no chance to be cross-examined or questioned. Well, the Washington Examiner makes the point, though, that despite all that's going on, the chairman of the commission literally said they're not sure yet if they're going to refer charges. His comment was, quote, no, you know, we're going to tell the facts. If the Department of Justice looks at it and assumes there's something that needs further review, I'm sure they'll do it. Anybody can have access to our report. And he asserted that the committee's job was just to gather evidence and provide recommendations. Huh. So why are we doing this? Literally, I thought that they were going to make this thing stick. I thought it was going to be this thing that you can't get around it, Donald Trump. We've got you now. We're the judge and the jury. We're the grand jury. We're going to indict you and try you and sentence you all at the same time. However, within minutes, it says, of these comments being reported, Representative Liz Cheney, by the way, we got a fundraising letter at my house here in Alabama from Liz Cheney. Anyway, oh, that's another story. Within minutes of these comments being reported, Representative Liz Cheney, Republican from Wyoming, for now, vice chairwoman of the committee, said the panel has not come to a conclusion about potential criminal referrals. We'll announce a decision on that at an appropriate time. Representative Adam Schiff, boy, this is a pair. Representative Adam Schiff, also a member of the committee, said he was under the impression the decision on referrals would be made after the committee concluded its investigation. Well, by God, when is it going to be finished with this investigation? Wait, do we have an end date? You guys are already putting on your dog and pony show in front of the cameras. Are you not through with the investigation? You mean to tell me there's more investigation? So what'd you do, present the first half of the investigation? Adam Schiff. Anyway, there's that. However, just the day before, story on our very own AlabamaAL.com, that bastion of conservative reporting, right? Just the day before those comments were made about how we weren't sure whether we're going to refer things to the Attorney General, just the day before in the Associated Press, like as according to AL.com, it says that members of the House committee investigating the Capitol riot said Sunday they've uncovered enough evidence for the Justice Department to consider an unprecedented criminal indictment against former President Donald Trump for seeking to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Adam Schiff said the day before those comments by the chairman that I told you about a moment ago, I'd like to see the Justice Department investigate any credible allegation of criminal activity on the part of Donald Trump. Well, that's a loaded phrase, Adam Schiff. I would like to see the Justice Department investigate any credible allegation of criminal activity on the part of Donald Trump. But I thought you were going to present the evidence, sir. I thought you'd been spending 2 years of taxpayers' dollars. So you're saying now you're just kind of like hoping that DOJ will do their own investigation and see if there's anything credible there that's criminal on the part of Donald. I mean, this is, you see what I'm saying? They are equivocating so hard because they know they have not reached that threshold. And they know it. Other things that clearly indicate to me that this is not a serious hearing are things that if I were in court right now, I would be objecting, moving to strike, and even asking the court to consider a mistrial for things like what happened yesterday, again, from our own AlabamaAL.com, that bastion of conservative reporting. Says, Representative Liz Cheney, Republican of Wyoming, came out firing during the second day of hearings involving the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. In her opening statement, Cheney made an unflattering reference to Rudy Giuliani. Quote, Trump rejected the advice of his campaign experts on election night and instead followed the course recommended by an apparently inebriated Rudy Giuliani to just claim that he won. What is, first of all, an inference on her part that Rudy Giuliani was inebriated and that he's the one that gave advice that was then taken by the President of the United States is inadmissible on its own self. It's prejudicing a future witness. It's not allowed for cross-examination. It was done to be inflammatory. It is completely objectionable. In the eyes of the court, it should be struck. But no, she's allowed to get away with it because there's nobody there to say don't do that, because they don't care. Because political theater says, I can insult and demean anybody who's not on my side and get away with it. That's where we are. Copper, go ahead and move us to a break. I'm running long. I'm opining in a big way. Yeah, I'm telling you, I got a little bit more on this, but let me make sure I'm clear with you, too. January 6th, there were some things that went badly. There were some things that should not have happened. There were some things that should never happen again. But what we're seeing right now is literally a revisionist version of history designed for nothing other than political purposes. It's a kabuki dance. It's political theater, and I got more on that. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, coming up top of the hour here as I finish up this segment, we'll be joined by Jeff Poor, my buddy who does FM Talk 106.5, has his own show down there in the nether regions of our state, but he's also the political editor for 1819 News. You know, you hear me talk about 1819 all the time. I'm affiliated with those guys. I was just texting Brian Dawson a moment ago from 1819 News. I've got a new piece that came out, op-ed, that's on 1819 News as of yesterday. It's also posted on the Right Side website. And then I'm going to be in a meeting tomorrow morning with those guys. So we see each other all the time. But here's the deal. I say that to say I also reference their stuff because it's just good reporting. I mean, solid. They do good, solid, clear, calling the balls and strikes type reporting. They don't put all what I call the skew and the spew into their news stories. And that is, golly, that's so hard to find these days. So their news is news. And it doesn't even always have to please me because I'm a conservative. I may look at it and go, dadgummit, conservatives made me mad and they reported on it. But nonetheless, I look at it and think, but I got news. It tells me about Alabama. It tells me about national. It tells me why it matters to where I live. They also tell me the stories that make me proud of being an Alabamian. So check them out, 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com. It's one of the resources I use quite often on the show, and their folks are just solid. All right, hey, listen, let me finish this up. So, article from the Daily Caller. Daily Caller reporting as of yesterday. It says Pelosi's political theater. Oh, I didn't realize that was in the title. That's my triple dipper name, political theater. Anyway, Pelosi's political theater just lost its star witness. So, yeah, crazy thing happened yesterday. Now, the easy, you know, answer to this is apparently his wife was in labor. And he was like, I'm blowing you off, commission. I got more important things to do. Well, a guy by the name of Bill Stepien was supposed to have been sort of the star witness of this whole political kabuki theater they've got going on the January 6th commission. But he did not come yesterday to give his testimony. And allegedly due to a family emergency. And it says that persons familiar with the matter, according to Daily Caller, said that it was because his wife was in labor, which I find to be a pretty legit reason. But it says that he was expected to provide, you know, great background information on all the things within the campaign about how Trump was lying and he knew, but he was doing it anyway. And anyway, all that to say, it says Trump spokesman Taylor Budowich said that the subpoena was politically motivated. Here's this, get this. Bill Stepien, he worked in Trump's campaign. He was subpoenaed by Republican Liz Cheney to be a witness in the January 6th commission hearings. Get this. He is also the campaign manager for Liz Cheney's opponent in the congressional race in Wyoming. You see this? It says the day after a poll was released showing that Liz Cheney was getting destroyed by Stepien's client, or her last name is Hageman, the committee just happened to subpoena him, and he's running Harriet's campaign. Budowich says this circus is beyond an embarrassment. It's going to forever stain the integrity of Congress. If that doesn't smack of just political get back, I don't know what does. Well, I have an article here from the New York Post that is not flattering to Trump, and I was about to get into it. It basically says that we're still seeing things that say that Trump was out of hand, that he was, you know, and this is their opinion. I'm not saying it myself. I'm saying that former President Donald Trump, according to New York Post, which is usually very conservative, released a 12-page statement this week, this is dated yesterday, claiming that Democrats are using the ongoing January 6th committee hearings to distract Americans from inflation, gas prices, and baby formula shortage, which I agree with. But he says it goes on to say that here is Trump literally still holding to the idea that the election was stolen, and all the ones who are laughing at him saying that he's foolish for saying that. I got news. That was the most jacked up election ever. Ever. And whether or not there was a vast conspiracy in a broad sense to make this happen, I think what you saw was at the very least a bunch of localized opportunists who changed the rules, made things bend, did things wrong, and then some that I think probably colluded across state lines to do it too. Yeah, it happened. January 6th Commission. Coming right back on Right Side Radio, got my buddy Jeff Poore. We're going to opine about things that are happening in politics. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.